Welcome. This is William Evans, and we're shifting gears. Our guest today is Jared Side, director of the Center for Counsel, based in Los Angeles, California. Welcome, Jared.
Hey, thank you, Will.
Tell us, what is counsel?
Counsel is it's a practice of coming together and listening in a community, whether it's a family or a group at work or maybe a community-based organization, listening for the stories that really define who we are and the values that we share.
Do you have the sense that counsel could reduce unnecessary violence?
Well, absolutely. You know, counsel is a practice that has showed up in so many different cultures over many, many traditions. The Center for Counsel really envisions a world where every voice is heard and nobody's invisible, and we all have an opportunity to connect to community. And you know, when we're not invisible, we tend not to bump into each other as much. And that practice of being able to see each other and recognize all of our special place in this world tends to norm a kind of cooperation and a kind of shared sense of values and well-being.
I'm aware counsel can help us heal the disconnection from ourself and our own voice. Can it also help with our disconnection from nature?
I think so. I think there's so much that is reflected of our own true nature in what we consider, you know, the outdoors or the planet. It's really essentially all of us. And on one level, you know, there's only one of us here. And when we listen to reflections in nature of who we are, I think we connect to that sense of, you know, as Thich Nhat Hanh would say, interbeing. It's both with you know, other humans that we're sharing the planet with for this time, but also this extraordinary ecology of so many different beings and energy forces. I think deep listening really is something that is a practice that has to do with how we walk on this planet, both in our own path and in community and what it is we're doing here. So, yeah, it's very important that we cultivate that ability to set aside what we think we're doing here and really listen for what will serve.
So a lot of us go to meetings and discussions and dialogues and classes and committees. How is counsel different?
Well, counsel is a community practice. Counsel doesn't have within it any prescribed values or doctrine. It's an opportunity for a community to find its own shared values. As I said, it's a practice of listening deeply and really bringing intention to coming together generally in a circle where there's no privileged seat, there's no position of power. All of us have an equal seat and an equal voice, where we can identify something that is shared, and that there's generally a center in council that helps us kind of resonate with kind of values and goals and shared agreements that we have in being together, in whether it's a family or a community of some sort, and that we really practice the intention of setting aside what it is we think we know about ourselves and each other to really listen for what is alive in us and alive in others. And that's a practice that really requires a kind of a toggle. You know, we tend to speak very strategically, and we usually have an agenda to achieve something and to, you know, indoctrinate or seduce or convince others of something, and we're generally listening to see whether we have allies or we have adversaries. If we can create a space where we come together and set aside all of that analytical sort of executive function of our brain to be with what's really there, it can be a really generative environment. It can really provide for us a space to listen for something that we often forget as we, you know, move about the planet with such a strong sense of having to accomplish something that seems to make sense for us.
Wow.
It's a way to slow down. It's a way to unplug and really listen for what will serve, you know, the whole community, and not just an agenda that we think is you know, that which gives us meaning in our particular day-to-day.
So it would be accurate to say counsel is a conversation, but it's not a contest, and no one's trying to get on top and be right.
I like that. Yeah, it's certainly that. And it's a special kind of conversation. Well, you know, we generally converse with a lot of agenda and with a lot of analysis. Counsel is an opportunity to set aside, you know, that way of thinking about who we are and who we are in relation to others, and really listen like we listen to music, you know, or we listen to a sunset, or we listen to a baby crying. It's not about agreeing or disagreeing. It's not about convincing or threatening. It's about being with what is truly there and seeing how that resonates. And that's a really kind of beautiful kind of corrective in our day, I think. It allows us to reboot and you know, touch in with that which is really human and good about us and about communities that we share. Again, whether it's a family coming together and really listening to what's there, or it's a group at the workplace that's trying to achieve, you know, creating products or services that will serve. We need to get on the same page, and we listen to what our work together and our time together really serves. It's different than our usual mode of conversing.
Yeah, in my experience, it can be great fun. Not always, but often fun, and there's something very healing and joyful about being in a circular conversation that's not a competitive event.
Yeah. You know, we just, circles just want to happen. You know, it's kind of an archetype, and we like to celebrate that way. I mean, that's generally when a birthday cake comes out, we kind of gather around, and when there's a Thanksgiving turkey or something, or a campfire, we find a way to get into a circle. And I think it's something that's very deep, you know. Spiders just know how to make a web in a circle, and birds don't go to, you know, nest-making school to figure out circles. They just kind of know. You know, that's the way things want to move. And our culture is really arrayed in a lot of lines and kind of hierarchies. And I think we move back into a circle to celebrate, and it brings back something that we know really deeply. And it is, I think, healing is a really good word for it. It's also really celebratory, you know, both in terms of, you know, things we share and accomplish and want to celebrate together, and also times that are tough where we need to really kind of circle the wagons, or, you know, gather our better forces.
And in your experience, counsel is moving forward in community rather than as a lone wolf.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Boy, it's about time we really woke up from that nightmare that, you know, we're somehow separate from each other. It really is hurting us in so many deep ways. And I think counsel really kind of creates this undeniable sense that we're in it together. It's an opportunity to recognize that we're all carrying pieces of this existence, and our, you know, our real essence of ourselves is in, you know, the relational field and how we relate to each other. There's a lot of neuroscience to support the understanding that the real essence of mind is, in fact, that which is between you and me and everyone else as we interrelate. And there's nothing that is separate. There's no separate self that exists in a box somewhere. When we practice in this way, when we come together and we have an opportunity every day, every week, every so often, to really be together and listen for what is true and alive, we remember, you know, that we're here as part of a community. And when we kind of norm that sense, there's a whole different orientation towards, you know, how we approach everything, life, family, relationships, business, politics. You know, the other becomes really part of our circle. It's really hard to hold on to that sense that somebody is really unlike us when they sit and really speak from their heart and our heart resonates with them. That sense of empathy begins to remind us that we're all in it together.
Well, and if I understand correctly, counsel started in Ojai, but really got its start in Los Angeles in that turbulent time after the L.A. riots, where it met a need in the school system.
Well, you know, well, I have to say, you know, we're calling something counsel now. In fact, Benjamin Franklin called what he observed the Iroquois people doing counsel back in the day and was very impressed with what he saw.
Yes.
Sorry?
I'm just laughing and acknowledging where you went back to in this country, in our history.
Yeah, for sure. That's certainly been alive. And, you know, if you happen to have grown up in Africa or Asia or Europe or, you know, somewhere else, South Africa, South America, you would, you know, recognize something that you might call Ibiraramo or Fambultak or Diwan or Magal Hakshava in the Hebrew tradition. In Hawaii, there's something called Ho'oponopono, which is a very similar process. So people have found a way to come into this this practice, this group practice of really resonating with what is communal for ages in all different sorts of cultures. The Ojai Foundation is something that's, you know, a really extraordinary place up in Ojai. The founding director was Joan Halifax, and she had been very moved by work she'd done with Quakers in Quaker circles during the Civil Rights Movement and the anti-war movement. She had been a protege of Joseph Campbell. And so a lot of what she brought to the Ojai Foundation, combined with a lot of the indigenous wisdom traditions that folks in the area had been practicing, these listening circles, as well as other forms throughout the world. And so the Ojai Foundation became a place to really codify this practice. There was a book called The Way of Counsel, written by Jack Zimmerman,
right,
and G.D. Coyle, who succeeded Joan Halifax in running the Ojai Foundation, and really pointed to the fact that, boy, our culture really needs something like this right now. And as the work at the Ojai Foundation started to trickle into schools in the Los Angeles area, it was clear that not only for youth, but for our entire society in healthcare and corrections, even in business, there was a great need to bring this kind of practice back to the fore. It was meeting a longing. And now our work really extends really throughout the world. We are focused in Southern California right now. Our offices are in Los Angeles, and we're doing a great deal of work with corrections in the state of California in a number of maximum security prisons, as well as community-based organizations that are working with the reintegration of former prisoners who are reaching the end of their sentences and, you know, coming back into communities who are stressed and don't really know how to receive these guys who've paid their debt to society and are coming back.
And so I've heard you
very
say...
Very much alive right now in California and well beyond.
And I've heard you say counsel is a practice where we get to know ourselves better and see each other as allies. Seeing each other as allies and when we need allies and partnerships seems especially precious in this time. Can you say more about councils favoring the growth of partnerships?
About 2 weeks ago, I was in a maximum security prison, level 4 prison in California. We were introducing counsel on one of the yards there that had been locked down for a number of years. No programming at all happening for these guys who were serving these long sentences. In our first day of welcoming in a group of inmates who decided to participate and who were, based on our requirements, representing a diversity of ethnic groups, various gang affiliations and other affiliations on the prison yard, in the first day there's a lot of trepidation. I mean, here are folks who you are taught to hate, to oppose. These are your enemies, simply by virtue of the fact that they identify as a different group. And in the course of a 2-day council workshop, what happened was really extraordinary. As they found through telling stories and reflecting on, you know, best friends they'd had and times with their grandparents and times their heart was broken or things that they missed or, you know, legacy that they hoped to leave, they found in each other a tremendous amount of not only alliance, but kind of brotherhood, fraternity. And we left these 2 days with a group of 20 men who were really eager to continue to learn from one another and to collaborate. What happens when you begin to norm that kind of collaboration in an environment that is typically not supportive of people really reaching outside of their silo, to say the least? In fact, it's a tremendously violent environment. Everything changes. And what we've heard from correctional staff is that somehow the yard, the flavor of the yard changes. The violent incidents on these yards where we have these council programs drop precipitously. There's a marked shift in the way people relate to one another in what is typically a very violent and positional environment.
Right.
And I think that this is true, you know, in places like this most dramatically, but certainly in every environment where, you know, in a school, we may have back-to-school night in council where there's a circle of children that we're talking about their accomplishments and the parents sit around and hear, you know, what they've done together, or teachers being witnessed by an outer circle of board members or community. When we are able to listen deeply and not have to have the pressure of trying to convince anyone or be defensive that someone won't understand. There's something that happens that norms commonality. It's a really special shift, and it doesn't just end when the council ends. It's something that is like a bell that you can't, you know, unring. You hear something. It touches your heart. Empathy grows, and when you leave this council environment, you behave differently with people. You can't just think of someone as an adversary or an enemy when your heart has been moved by their story. You
right.
have a kind of compassion that lasts in things you'll do after, whether it's working together, you know, in an office or in a factory, or it's collaborating in a healthcare facility or a hospice facility, or even just in community.
This is William Evans, and you're listening to Shifting Gears. I'm speaking with Jared Side about the practice of counsel. So when you facilitate a circle, whether it's in a school or a prison, it requires a high degree of integrity because people will open their hearts under this safe condition. And I actually was in a circle in a hospital where the authority misused some of the information that was shared and violated the trust that had been exhibited by these people who spoke their truth and opened their heart. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, Will. And I'll say that the reason that we feel so strongly about the organization that we have individuated from our many years of work at the Ojai Foundation is the professional standards need to be held very highly. And we have 65 certified trainers who are really credentialed to be teaching counsel to groups. And while coming together and speaking truthfully is not something that's the intellectual property of anyone, this practice of creating a container together that has within it the safety and the the containment, really, to bring forth the stories that will serve. It's a practice that evolves over time, and our mission is to train groups to find their way. No one comes in from our organization and says, okay, this is a safe space. Let's go. Share your secrets. I mean, that would be absolutely irresponsible. A group needs to find a way to create a space that will engender a kind of truthfulness that is appropriate. When you're sitting with a group of seventh graders or a group of patients or a group of employees, your roles in the outside world don't go away. You know, when correctional workers sit with inmates in a prison, you know, they don't just sort of lose their identity. They, in fact, affirm their identity and add to that that which is common and that which is shared. So I think a group comes to a sense of assessing the safety and the nurturing environment as counsel is practiced. So our real job is to train the trainers, really. We come into an organization, we come into a community, we come into a prison yard, and we identify a group that really wants to develop a practice and find their way to a safe container. We don't offer that as something that's a magical thing that, you know, folks from the Center for Counsel can give you. We talk about how to build that kind of container. It's that, you know, teach me to fish and I'll eat for a lifetime, as opposed to, you know, having a good dinner. So the practice of counsel is something that evolves over time. And Center for Counsel is really committed to helping communities, whether they're, you know, a community of a family or a community of a neighborhood or a community of an organization, really evolve a practice that allows for this kind of coming together in a truthful and appropriate way.
And on a personal note, you watched your daughter find her voice in counsel.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, the my first interaction with counsel was really from the seat of a parent. I was president of the governing board of a school in Los Angeles just after the LA riots. And the place was starting to get really hot, really uncomfortable, really siloed. And we needed something really to find our way back to community. We found our way to the Ojai Foundation. We brought counsel into that school community. The community really transformed. We really put the children and their well-being at the center. And we found a way as stakeholders, from parents to teachers to board members to students, to really understand what we were doing there together and to celebrate that. personally, my daughter was in the classroom where, as the teachers began to understand this way of working, it really gave my daughter an opportunity to listen in for her voice. And she became a writer in fourth grade, I think, really understanding something about what was true for her and empathizing with, you know, her cohorts in that fourth grade class. She went on to be kind of like the poster child for counsel in schools. And it was really remarkable to see how she came into her voice and she came into a sense of empathy and appreciating community. It was really striking to me as a parent. And in addition, I was a member of a community that really turned around and really found its way to a kind of peaceful coexistence and a generativity, a real sense that together we can flourish in ways that we didn't realize because we were so busy trying to oppose the other groups and the other agendas that were there on campus at the time.
So your daughter found her voice in counsel. How would you describe what you found, Jared, in counsel?
You know, well, I feel like I've got just a great big family sometimes. I walk out of some of these settings and I feel so connected to folks. You know, you sit with a bunch of people and you hear something so deep and resonant, you kind of go, wow, that's kind of me, and that's kind of a part of me. In the case of the prisons, it's so interesting because you wouldn't expect that people who are so different from you are sitting across from you telling stories, but something starts to move in your heart, you know, and I'm talking about the prisoners at this point, but then, you know, at a certain point, there'll be something that happens on the yard and the correctional officers will come in and have to, you know, kind of shut down the council and bring some discipline to the proceeding. And it seems like it's interrupting heartful behavior, but, you know, you begin to understand that these guys and women are confronting extraordinary conditions that are really wreaking havoc, and the amount of fear and concern in them is really alive. So counsel really, in that situation, certainly made me feel very deeply connected to everyone in that environment, from the warden to the inmates to the correctional officers and to the victims of the crimes, the families on the outside. It's really broadened my sense of, you know, interconnection, I think, and that perceiving of being interconnected is, you know, in some folks' definition, that's kind of, you know, what enlightenment really looks like, is that you really kind of see yourself reflected in so many others. It's been so, I just can't even tell you how grateful I am to have found my way to this practice and also to be able to share it with folks and see what happens when you open your heart, what it does for us to feel connected and really committed to making this world a better place, along with all of our, you know, our brothers and sisters, all of the different refractions of us that are don't often look like us or don't often seem to be us, but in fact really are just another version of us.
I know you've told us, but I think it's worth maybe expanding on. You're speaking from your heart in counsel. And so it's rather than something being prepared in my mind and articulating my agenda, it's very spontaneous. And that's part of the reason it's so genuine and so connective, is that we haven't organized what we're going to say. Can you talk about that a little bit in terms of things that surprise you that come out of your mouth or that you hear from students or prisoners or people on an Indian reservation or healthcare workers?
It seems counterintuitive to lead with not knowing. We're often expected to have the answers, to go in with a strategy, to go in, you know, knowing what to do. And it seems like a great risk to enter a situation and really be disabusing ourselves of what we think is going on so that we can really listen. What we learn, what I learn in being with folks who whose lives I can't possibly really know. I may have heard something about them. I may have in my head some ideas of what could be something that would help them, rescue them from their challenges. And that's such an arrogance, really. And, you know, I guess I, along with a lot of people, have been taught that, you know, you've got to sort of figure it out and go in there with a solution. When you really set that aside, you really set aside what you think you know, and you really listen, and you have a confidence that what is alive in the field is really going to lead you to what needs to happen, the action that grows from that, the compassion becomes so generative that what you need to do in a situation to be of service, to help, to be more efficient, more resilient, more creative, really is found in that situation. And that is really, it's blurred. It's very difficult to see that if you come in with a lot of agenda. So these opportunities to be with people and really not know what you're doing, but really have a commitment to be with what is arising in you and really seeing and listening for what is alive in others changes the situation, you know, and it creates a whole different set of ingredients for what comes next.
We've got 30 seconds, Jared.
Okay. Well, I want to say that the way this is unfolding around the world is so confirming that there's a great longing at this point to find our way to collaborate and to deepen community and create resilience. What we're seeing in Rwanda now as the correctional service there is really inspired by the model we've started in California is really thrilling and deeply humbling that in a place that has suffered deep wounds from a genocide, the kind of healing and the kind of resilience is served by a practice like counsel. And I invite folks who are interested to check out the website, centerforcounsel.org, if you want to see some more about all this work in the world and maybe even watch one of our short videos of what happens when we take it into a prison.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jared. This is KDNK. You've been listening to a conversation with Jared Side about counsel. I'm William Evans. Thanks,
Will.
Thank you for listening. I think that was wonderful.
Cool.
I will send you a link when it's up, and you can use it in any way that would be helpful on your website. And I look forward to actually meeting you someday.
That's terrific. Thank you so much, Will. If you want to just let people know how they can get in touch with us up there, anybody's interested, our link to our website and to me. So anybody who wants more info or if you want to continue the conversation.
I'll be happy to.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And so you're going to meet with Joan Halifax in Santa Fe, I assume.
I did last week, and I'll see her again tomorrow, yeah. She's
right.
A wonderful proponent of all this and has been, there was a time where really she identified so deeply with counsel, and now in Upaya Zen Center, the word Upaya in Sanskrit means skillful means, and counsel is one of the skillful means of bringing this kind of healing work to the world. So she's really committed to seeing that be part of what the Zen peacemaker community is all, socially engaged Buddhism is really bringing things like counsel out into the world. And that's very much a part of what she is doing now in her organization, which is great.
Yeah, I had the wonderful experience of sitting in a circle with her many years ago at my old Boy Scout camp.
Oh, wow.
She came and taught there, Camp Tahosa.
Wow.
Above Boulder.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm delighted that this seems to have technically worked, and we will be in touch.
Thank you, Will. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your interest and your follow-up and your heart. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Talk to you soon.